Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Margaret McCall, you're listening to Business Life Works, the show that guides you and coaches you on how to use the harmonic matching process to create a fulfilling life, both work life and personal life. Today, we're going to talk about a topic that is so important and so relevant. We are going to talk about money, and our guest is Jarrett Dillian. Jarrett, are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jarrett. I'm going to give a little intro and a little bio, but you've got so much going on, and I'm sure you're going to want to add to it. So let me just give a quick summary for us. For our topic today, the reason we're talking about money and Jarrett's new book, which is called No Worries, How to Live a Stress-Free Financial Life, is that millions of people experience crippling financial stress. They lay awake at night wondering how they're going to pay the rent. They make payments on their student loans for years, then find the loan balance is significantly larger than when they started. Financial stress compounds other kinds of stress, marriages, jobs, kids. It makes your life difficult, says Jarrett, and I couldn't agree more with Jarrett. The thing about money stress is that it's unnecessary. It is possible to live a stress-free financial life. Jarrett's written many books. We've given just one topic today, one title, No Worries, How to Live a Stress-Free Financial Life. That's his new book, but he'll tell us more later on about his other books. Jarrett is the editor of the Daily Dirt Nap, a daily market newsletter for investment professionals, continuously published since 2008. That's quite an accomplishment, Jarrett. It's a long time. And Jarrett is the founder of Jarrett Dillian Money and has previously contributed to Bloomberg Opinion, Forbes, and TheStreet.com. From 2019 to 2021, Jarrett hosted the Jarrett Dillian Show, a nationally syndicated radio show on personal finance. And he is now the host of the Be Smart podcast. In his spare time, Jarrett is a progressive house DJ and speaks frequently on mental health issues, issues at financial institutions. Welcome, Jarrett. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you. What state are you calling in from today?
I'm calling in from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Oh, that sounds nice. How's the water? A little chilly?
It's today we're having the worst weather we've had in a while. It's cold and rainy, and it's kind of disgusting. So,
well, it's a good day to be with us, huh? Inside.
Yep.
That's great. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about how you got into this topic. I read what I could of your book, and I am so looking forward to completing it. I didn't get a chance to complete it, but I wanted you to come and be my guest because this topic is so, so very important to people. And I know people just, they find it hard to believe they can live a stress-free life when they're struggling financially. But I'm looking forward to your wisdom and sharing that with us today and telling us more. How did you get involved in this topic?
Well, I started doing research on it about 6 years ago, and I read all the books. I read the Dave Ramsey book and the Kiyosaki book and The Millionaire Next Door. And I just thought that a lot of the advice that's being given to people on personal finance is really bad. And a lot of it asks of people to do really extreme things, right? Like cut up your credit cards and just never use credit cards ever again, or live under conditions of extreme austerity. And I said, you know, this advice, I mean, ultimately could result in people getting more money at the end, but it's going to put people through a lot of stress in the meantime. And I think it really makes people have an unhealthy relationship with money. And what I mean by that is it puts them in a position where they're thinking about money all the time. And really, in order to have a healthy relationship with money, you want to think about it never. You never want to think about it. So that's generally how I live my life. I mean, I do have a financial newsletter where I kind of have to think about money all the time, as a course of my job. But in terms of my personal finances, I really don't spend any time thinking about it. And, you know, like you said in the intro, the thing about money stress is that it compounds other kinds of stress. So if you have marriage stress or kid stress or job stress, money stress just makes it worse. And it's completely avoidable. Like, it's all about how you structure your life.
That makes sense to me, because if you are structuring it in such a way that you feel deprived, you know, what you were saying earlier, if you feel deprived, then you're going to be thinking about it all the time, right?
No, that's absolutely true. I mean, in the U.S. and elsewhere, we have this thing called the FIRE movement, where people save up money for 10 or 15 years and they retire. And, you know, if you do that, I mean, the math checks out. You know, assuming the stock market does in the future what it does in the past, that you'll probably make your money last, but you're going to be thinking about it all the time. You know, every time the stock market goes down 2 or 3%, you're going to be worrying that you will have to go back and find a job. So.
Got it. Now, I believe I read in the intro or the preface where you were talking about, you know, you didn't really grow up with money, right? A lot of money. You had the basics, correct?
Yeah, we had the basics. I wasn't poor. I would say we were lower middle class, but, our basic needs were met. Also this was the early 80s, so, you know, people's standards of living were lower back then. You know, I got some clothes at yard sales and Goodwill and stuff like that. But when it came time for Christmas, I made a list of toys and I got most everything. So I didn't really feel like I, you know, was lacking for anything. But, you know, compared to some people in town, I sure was. So.
It is interesting, because I think how you grow up, like when I grew up, money was really, really tight. And sometimes we had a little bit more. Sometimes we didn't have anything. And so there was this, you know, sense of, are we going to be able to live and manage and find some food or whatever? But I know my brother and I, who were like a year and a half apart, we had different perspectives on it. Like he was very determined he was going to make money. And I remember my perspective was it really still wasn't all that important to me. I wasn't interested in struggling. But I remember feeling free, like I knew what it was like not to have money, so I felt like I would never go through life fearing that, because you always figure it out some way or another, right? But so for me, I developed a sense of freedom of, I've been here, I know what it's like, and I'm okay. And then my brother kind of built on his foundation was fear to build, I'm gonna do really well. Because I'm never letting this happen again. It's kind of interesting how we take our childhood experience and we have a perspective that's built that shapes us the rest of our life.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, money wasn't really important to me until I got to be about 24 years old. And that's when I really, when I was 23 or 24, I was starting to do some exploratory research, working on Wall Street, because, you know, I was really interested in the financial markets. And then I learned how much people make who work on Wall Street. And I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I didn't even know this was possible. I didn't know people made money like this. And then I started to care. And then, I manifested it. You know, I got a job on Wall Street, and I actually made the kind of money that I set out to do, you know, so it was cool.
Wow. Interesting. Very interesting. Well, you know, when you talk about how to live a stress-free financial life, and you also mention in your book that it's not necessarily about making more money, right? That most people think the antidote to financial stress is more money, but you say it's not. So talk about what it is.
Right. So there's very little correlation between how much money you have and how much financial stress you have. A lot of people think that not having money is a source of financial stress, but it's not necessarily. Like, if your basic needs are met and you don't have any debt and you don't have any risk in the financial markets, and the debt is the important part. If you don't have any debt, even if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you really don't have a lot of financial stress. I mean, the worst thing that can happen to you is you lose your job. But if you have an emergency fund and then if you can get unemployment, everything's going to be fine. On the other end, you have a guy like Elon Musk, who is the richest person in the world, who almost went bankrupt because he took out a giant loan to buy Twitter and pledged his Tesla stock as collateral, and the stock went down 75%. So, you know, the richest guy in the world put himself in a position where he had a lot of financial stress. I mean, he's an extreme risk taker. So it really doesn't matter how much money you have. Like, you can experience financial stress or not experience it. It's really a choice. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That is interesting. I didn't know that he almost went bankrupt. But, yeah, that's fascinating. So how do you advise people? Do you coach them or strictly through your books? Certainly through your podcast. And through your writings, are there other ways you work with people one-on-one?
No, I really don't. I don't consider myself to be a coach or anything. I'm just a writer. There will be a follow-up to this book at some point, and I write a free weekly newsletter at Jared Dillian Money. If you go to the Jared Dillian Money website, you can sign up for the free newsletter so people get my thoughts on personal finance every week. But yeah, I'm just a writer.
So I wouldn't say yes. You are a writer. How about that? Jared Dillian, what is that website again? Let's give that to everybody. Jared Dillian
JaredDillianMoney.com. Yep.
Okay. Great. That sounds wonderful. Okay. I've looked at your website a bit. It looks fascinating. Let's talk a little bit about abundance mindset and what that means for people.
Yeah, so a lot of the personal finance literature out there puts people in a scarcity mindset. And they say you make this much a year, you make $60,000 a year, and this is your pie, and we are going to slice this pie into smaller and smaller pieces, and we're going to cut expenses, and at the end of it, you might have some money left over. And you can take the abundance mindset too far, but what I really try to impress upon people is this idea that you can just go make another pie, right? There's no statutory limit on pie. You can just go get more pie. And there's a chapter in the book called The Revenue Side, which talks about the idea that, you know, if you don't have enough money, it's a lot easier to go out and make more than to try to aggressively cut expenses. There's only so much you can do on the expense side. But if you work longer hours or get a second job or you do a side hustle or start a business or something like that, you can make several orders of magnitude more than what you would by cutting expenses. It has a much greater impact.
That makes sense. Today I've noticed when I hire people, and I run a mental health agency, so I'll have you talk a little bit later. I know that's one of your interests. But when I hire staff to work with our clients, I find that a lot of them, most of the staff I hire are contract staff, and they work from their homes, they're virtual, and some of their telehealth they offer. Many of them have a full-time job and a part-time job, sometimes two or three part-time jobs. What do you think of that? I'm noticing that with a lot of people I interview, that they have numerous jobs, and I'm wondering, would you really have time for this job? Tell me about that.
I think it's commendable. I think it's amazing. You know, there's been a couple times in my life, not now, but there's been a couple times in my life when I've had, you know, two jobs and was going to grad school at the same time. I actually just did that. I got my MFA in creative writing. I just graduated last year. And while I was in that program, I had a nightly radio show that was 2 hours. Plus, I was doing the newsletter job at the same time. And, you know, as you know from doing a radio show, there's a lot of prep that goes into it. So that was, you know, it was two full-time jobs plus going to school. I got to tell you, you know, when I'm doing that, those are usually the happiest times of my life. I like being busy. I like having stuff to do. Honestly, it makes me happy. What doesn't make me happy is sitting on the couch with a bunch of unstructured free time. I like to work. You know, I just like to work, and I think it's good for people.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me, and I think from a mental health perspective, that makes sense, that when there's unstructured time, we tend to, misuse it. We let ourselves almost waste away, and it's not really natural. It makes sense. Seems much more natural to be focused in a certain direction. Although sometimes I get concerned, like when people are working so many hours, will they have time? Will they have the flexibility and time to really devote to what I'm hiring them for? You know? And so I find that I always ask, where would you squeeze this in your life? Would it be squeezed in? Would you be able to make it work? Tell me about that, you know? Because I want people to think about that. I don't want them just to say, well, more, more, more. I need more money. And I want them to think, because it's important to me, they do a quality job. So where are you going to fit this in your life? Can you fit it in your life?
Yeah.
But it makes sense what you're saying, and I can appreciate that. So tell us more in terms of abundance mindset. I'm very familiar with thinking about abundance mindset versus scarcity mindset, and our listeners are as well. We talk a lot about law of attraction and our consciousness and how our consciousness helps us to attract what we want or what we don't want, depending on where we're focusing our attention, our thoughts, our emotions, our beliefs. Tell us what kind of beliefs we need to have to create that abundance mindset.
Well, you really have to have a belief that you are going to be successful no matter what. And, I mean, I've failed at a bunch of things in my life. I mean, including that radio show. The radio show was a failure. I did it for 2 years, and we essentially ran out of money, and I had to get off the air. And you know what? I mean, there's a lot of good that came out of that. What came out of that experience was the book. That's actually how that happened. So, you know, I was on the radio for 2 hours every night talking about personal finance. And when you talk to yourself in a dark, quiet radio station by yourself for 2 hours every night, you start to get some ideas. It was the ideas that I developed over the course of doing that radio show that became the basis for this book. So something great came out of it. So, you know, I, as you saw from my bio, like, I do a bunch of different things. And everything I do, I consider to be a free option, you know, or an option that costs very little. Every article I write, every Substack blog post, every newsletter, there's something in every one of those things that could lead to something bigger. What's interesting is my first book, which was called Street Freak, which is a memoir about when I was working at Lehman Brothers, that came about because I was writing market commentary during the course of my job as a trader at Lehman Brothers, and somebody was forwarding it to a literary agent, and the literary agent actually recruited me to write the book. So if you keep doing stuff, if you keep creating, if you keep doing stuff, like, good things are going to happen. You want to put yourself in a position where you are positively exposed to luck.
Hmm. Where you're positively exposed to what was that word?
Luck.
Luck. Okay. Okay. So how do people do that? That's a tall order, isn't it?
It's really, you know, luck will never find you in your apartment. You're not going to get lucky by sitting in your apartment waiting for good things to happen to you. You have to go out and do stuff. You have to meet with people. You know, I've had a lot of opportunities come to me because I've gone to a conference and I met somebody, or because I've gone to a party and I've met somebody. But sitting in your house, you know, hoping that something good will happen to you never leads to anything good happening to you.
Right, right. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Well, then, the opposite of this abundance mindset is scarcity mindset. Do you want to define that for us? Actually, before you do that, I realize the time. We have to take a quick segment break. We'll come back to addressing scarcity mindset so people can truly understand how to shift that thinking into abundance mindset. We're here with Jared Dillian today. We'll be back in just a moment.
Did you know that more than 54% of Americans fight with people close to them because of stress? That people with positive social relationships recover from illness faster, and that people who have a best friend at work are 7 times more likely to be engaged in their jobs. The Relationship Code teaches us to empower ourselves in all types of relationships with the new techniques and insights of the 4-step harmonic matching process. The harmonic process integrates psychology with universal principles to help people achieve their desires. In the Relationship Code, you'll learn to create positive self-fulfilling prophecies, communicate effectively, enhance relationships on the job, overcome everyday and long-term challenges, and develop extraordinary outcomes. Published by Career Press and available now, you can go to www.margaretmacraw.com or call 410-366-9111 to order the book. Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction. Would you like to transcend patterns in your life that inhibit you from attracting true love? Begin creating strong, fulfilling relationships that are long-lasting. Margaret McCraw's book, Tune Into Love, can give you a positive start and an exciting new process for attracting the loving partner you seek. Tune Into Love will also teach you 4 essential steps for focusing your thoughts, emotions, and beliefs to create all of your desires. Learn how to sidestep the self-imposed roadblocks that hold you from fulfillment. In addition to attracting and creating a fulfilling relationship, Tune Into Love will show you how to attract better health, fulfilling careers, abundance of money, and harmony in all aspects of your life. Order your copy today at www.tuneintolove.com or call 877-366-9111 or visit the website TuneIntoLove.com.
Radio Your Way. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCraw, host of Business Life Works. We're here today talking with Jared Dillian, the author of numerous books, but his most recent book is called No Worries, how to live a stress-free financial life. And Jared, before we get right back into our discussion, please give our listeners your website and tell them what they can find on it before we go forward, okay?
Yeah, my website is jareddillionmoney.com. And there's, there's just a whole bunch of resources on that website. We have a comprehensive financial course. There's actually a whole course on bonds. A lot of people don't know about bonds. There's a bond masterclass. There's a course on the awesome portfolio, all kinds of stuff at jareddillionmoney.com.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. So before we took our break, we were talking about abundance consciousness. Let's take a moment. It's, the opposite of scarcity mindset or scarcity consciousness. So why don't you define scarcity consciousness or mindset for us, and then let's talk about how we step out of that and into abundance. All right?
Okay. Well, one of the things about the book, probably the most important message of the book, is that generally what people are taught is that whether they have money is the product of a million small decisions. So the classic example is getting a cup of coffee on the way to work, right? So a cup of coffee costs $4. So if you go to work 225 days a year, that's $900 a year. And if you do that for 40 years, it's $36,000. So you can save $36,000 if you just never buy coffee. Well, that's not a good idea. You can save a lot more money by getting a slightly smaller house, right? If you get a house that's 500 square feet smaller, then you're going to save roughly $150,000 in interest over the course of a 30-year mortgage, okay? So really, one big decision is worth a million small decisions. So it's not a million small decisions that determine whether you have money. It's really just a couple of big decisions. It's the house, the car, and the student loans. And what a lot of people do is when money gets tight, they go into expense-cutting mode, and they start cutting things which are really small luxuries, okay? And what I found is that people have a tough time giving up small luxuries. Like a cup of coffee is like the best example. Like it's a small amount of money, but it makes you happy, right? You get a cup of coffee on the way into work, it makes you happy. But people can give up big luxuries. If somebody gets a slightly smaller house, they're not sitting in the house miserable thinking about what a tiny house it is and they hate it and they want to move. They're perfectly happy in that house. People can give up big luxuries, but they can't give up small luxuries.
That's an interesting thought. Now, why is that, do you think? Is it because the small luxuries kind of feed us emotionally every day, and maybe the big luxuries we just settle into and accept? What is the reason for that, do you think?
I think that's exactly the reason. Something that a small luxury that you have on a daily basis has a much bigger positive psychological impact on your life than a really big luxury, like an expensive car. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like an expensive car is going to be fun for a couple of months, but cars depreciate and you're going to ride it a lot, and pretty soon it's going to have 100,000 miles on it, and then it's not going to be a new car anymore, But the coffee is the gift that keeps on giving. Also, going out to lunch, even there's been a lot of food inflation. Like, I used to be able to go out to lunch for $15 and now it's $25. But if I go out to lunch every once in a while, it's not the end of the world. It's a very small thing,
Right. That's right. It is in the grand scheme of things. How about the person who's really, really struggling, like going out to lunch truly isn't an option for them? Maybe they're living on food stamps. Maybe they're working and struggling with that, but they're also on food stamps because their income is so low. Do you have any words for individuals truly in that situation where their just every day is a struggle to get by?
Yeah, I mean, the book isn't really written for that audience in particular. It's really written for more of a middle class audience, you know. But there's still solutions, and the solutions really get back to what I was talking about earlier. You know, the most elegant solution to the problem of not having enough money is to make more money, right? So, if you're making what I would call like a lower middle class income, you're making $30,000 to $40,000 a year, and you have rent and you have utilities and pretty much all your free cash flow is, you know, you have nothing left over at the end of the month. There's cutting expenses isn't going to help, you know. I mean, it's just like there's only so much you can do. You might be able to scrounge up a couple $100. You're going to have to figure out a way to make more money. You know, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. I get it. Okay. All right. Well, you know, you make a point in your book how to purge the urge to splurge without making life a drag. Talk to us about this a bit, because that's huge, I think, for a lot of people.
Well, in the book I talk about, there's two different types of people. There's a CF, which is a chief person. I can't say what that is. And there's a high roller. And, you know, there are people who spend too much money. And I think we think there are more of them than there are, right? Especially in America, we talk about this mythological person that has a 580 credit score, and they have a $100,000 truck. And they've maxed out their credit cards. I mean, yes, those people exist, but I think there are fewer of them than we are led to believe, you know. There are people who spend too much money. There are people who spend too little money. There are people on the opposite end of the spectrum, right? So, yes, there are some people who need to purge the urge to splurge. And I think that we all have a responsibility to live at our means, not above our means, not below our means, but at our means, right? So what does that mean? That means that, you know, you buy a car that is commensurate with your income. That means you buy a house that is commensurate with your income. It's really, from a psychological perspective, it means that you are right-sized, okay? The way you view yourself is the way that other people view you. And you have the appropriate opinion of yourself. You know, a lot of this comes down, a lot of the overspending comes down to ego. And it also comes down to trauma. Like there's a lot of what people do with money, whether it's spending too much or spending too little, a lot of it comes down to psychological issues relating to trauma in people's childhoods, you know.
That's a very good point. I mean, I think that's very good. Well, I was given the example of my brother and I, you know, just even having different perspectives on what we needed to do to feel okay about where we were in life, right? And how we were going to approach life. It does kind of lay a foundation, doesn't it, for people in terms of how they're going to approach life, how they're going to approach work. All these decisions we have to make, how they're going to approach even getting married or having kids, and it impacts all of that. We have to take a quick segment break, but we're going to be back in just a moment. We're talking today with Jared Dillian, the author of No Worries, How to Live a Stress-Free Financial Life. Stay tuned.
Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCaw, host of Business Life Works. We are here today talking about money and how to live a stress-free financial life. Jarrett, your website, let's give it to our listeners. Let's see if I've got this right. JarrettDillionMoney.com. That's correct, isn't it?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, so it's spelled JarrettDillionMoney money.com. Please go to Jarrett's website. You're going to see a lot of good freebies, research and information and courses and all kinds of things. Thank you, Jarrett, for that. So, Jared, in your book, you talk about the awesome portfolio, the investment side of things. So give us some insight here on what is the awesome portfolio.
Well, there's two sources of financial stress, and one of them is debt, which we already discussed. But the other one is risk that you have in the financial markets. And a lot of what people are told nowadays in terms of investing is that they should put all their money in an index fund, like the S&P 500. They should put all their money in the S&P 500 index fund, and it'll return 9% over the next 100 years because it returned 9% for the last 100 years, and that's what the market does. Okay, that's what people are taught. The problem is if you invest in an index like the S&P 500, you get the returns of the index, which are very, very good, but you also get the volatility of the index, right? So if you have all your money in the stock market, you're experiencing the volatility of the stock market. You're experiencing the ups and downs, and the ups and downs are causing stress. Now, the stock market can move in an average year 10 to 20% a year. If the stock market goes down 20%, you are going to experience a lot of stress, right? And that stress can lead to bad decision-making. One of the things I say in the book is that the purpose of volatility is to make people make stupid decisions. So pretend you invested $100,000 in your retirement account, and it goes down $20,000, and you get scared, and you sell it, and then you stop compounding, you're in cash, and the market goes up, right? So the solution to this is something called the awesome portfolio. And the awesome portfolio is diversified across five asset classes. It's 20% stocks, 20% bonds, 20% gold, 20% cash, and 20% real estate. And the amazing thing about this portfolio is that it returns about 8% a year, about 1% less than the stock market, but it does so with half the volatility of an 80-20 portfolio, half the volatility, and the worst year that it has ever had is down 12% in a year. Even in 2008, when the stock market was down 38%, the awesome portfolio was only down 9%. So you have this portfolio that returns almost as much as the stock market, but half the risk, and the worst you've ever done in a given year is 12%. That is the solution. That is the solution to people's financial stress.
So 20% stocks, 20% bonds, 20% gold, 20% cash, and 20%
real estate.
Wow. Okay. Fascinating. How did you come up with this?
A lot of tinkering. A lot of back testing, a lot of spending time with spreadsheets. So.
Wow. So, should people talk to their financial representatives about this?
Well, I mean, for sure. Like, I would love for people to talk to their financial advisors about this. But the last thing a financial advisor wants to hear is somebody walking in their office and say, hey, I read this book by this crazy guy who says I should have 20% of my money in gold and 20% of my money in cash. And the financial advisor who makes money off of, you know, commissions and fees by selling mutual funds thinks this is a profoundly bad idea. Like, what I really hope is that someday, like, this becomes the model portfolio for financial advisors. But we're a long way from that happening yet. So.
Right. Sure, they have their own personal interests at heart, right?
Yeah.
So how should they handle this if they don't know anything about investments and they've got everything in stocks right now? I mean, what would be the best way to approach it? They're going to need help.
Well, actually, in the book, I go into pretty specific detail about, you know, how you implement the awesome portfolio. It's really all you need is 4 ETFs. I'm not going to go into them right now. It'd be pedantic, but all you need is 4 ETFs. I will tell you that the book I'm working on next, the sequel to No Worries, is going to be the awesome portfolio. So I'm going to do a whole book about the awesome portfolio. So
okay, wonderful. In the meantime, people would really have to work with their financial investor, right? To be able to make something like this happen.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have a financial advisor, if you're just a do-it-yourself investor, then that's obviously the ideal situation. The one thing I will say is that you have to rebalance it annually on some arbitrary date. Because, you know, in any given year, stocks will go up and gold will go down and bonds will go up and real estate will go down. And at the end of the year, you're going to have to rebalance. If you don't rebalance, all the benefits disappear. So you do have to rebalance it once a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you need somebody who will really work with you on that unless you know what you're doing. Right?
Yeah. I mean, there's more to come on that. Let's just put it that way. So.
Okay. All right. Well, when's your next book coming out?
Oh, I don't know. A couple years.
How are you going to make us wait, huh?
Yep.
No, that sounds good. That makes sense, what you're saying. Wow. So anything else in terms of the investment side you want to guide us on or give us some coaching on?
Well, really, just in general terms, risk is a function of volatility, right? And a lot of people, you know, are attracted to risky assets like fly paper because they return a lot, like Bitcoin, you know, or crypto in general. You know, people like to mess around in crypto because the potential returns are very high, but the volatility is also incredibly high. So if you do this, you know, I mean, first of all, I don't recommend it, but even if you don't listen to me and you want to do it anyway, what this is going to do is increase your financial stress, okay? And generally, if somebody has a bunch of crypto, they're constantly checking their phone, they're checking in every 5 minutes, they're seeing if it went up or down, they have this feedback mechanism. If it goes up, they're happy. If it goes down, they're sad, and they're experiencing all these emotions, and it's not really how I want to live my life. You know, so I think for the purposes of living a stress-free financial life, you want something that's slow and boring. And one of the nice things about the awesome portfolio is that it's slow and boring, but you don't trade off anything in the way of returns. You're not giving up much in the way of returns to get a slow, boring portfolio. So,
mm-hmm. Which means less stress, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It definitely makes sense. I think people would appreciate not having the ups and downs that cause the stress. We have to take a quick break. We have one more segment for our show. We are with Jared Dillian. Stay tuned. We're talking about how to live a stress-free financial life. Be back in a moment.
Are you interested in a board-certified coach training program specializing in the law of attraction? If so, become a board-certified life and business coach, as well as a holistic health practitioner, and help others live their dreams. If you're ready for a new and exciting career, you should visit www.tuneintolove.com to learn more about board-certified training programs specializing in the law of attraction. This could be perfect if you're one of those people that likes helping others. Do friends, family members, and colleagues come to you for advice? And are you good at helping others solve difficult problems? If so, this board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction could be just for you. Go to tuneintolove.com to find out more. You could be your own boss and working out of your own home with a very flexible schedule, in addition to the ability to make so much more money and have so much more free time. Visit www.tuneintolove.com and find out more about the board-certified training program specializing in the law of attraction.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
This is Margaret McCall, host of Business Life Works. We are here today with Jarrett Dillian talking about his book, his latest book, No Worries, How to Live a Stress-Free Financial Life. And Jarrett's website, I would encourage you to go to this, is jareddillianmoney.com. I assume, Jared, that our listeners can buy your books wherever books are sold, Amazon or major bookstores, correct?
Oh,
yeah. Your website?
Yeah, pretty much everywhere. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Wonderful. So let's move into the topic of smart ways to buy big ticket items, like from a house to a car. A boat, if somebody wants a boat, how would you suggest they buy the big ticket items?
Well, the one thing I say in the book is that you want to be a bad customer of the bank, right? Nobody wants to be a good customer of the bank. And a good customer of the bank is somebody who borrows lots of money and doesn't prepay the loan and pays all the interest in the process and just, like, contributes to bank profits, right? You don't want to be a good customer of the bank. You want to pay off debt as quickly as possible. So if you're buying a house, you generally, if you're looking at fixed-rate mortgages, you have a choice between a 15-year or 30-year. You can also get an ARM, but let's just talk about 15- and 30-year mortgages. The way you should do it is you should not buy a house unless you can afford it with a 15-year mortgage. You can still get a 30-year mortgage, but if you can't afford the payments with a 15-year mortgage, then it means you are buying too big of a house, okay? Now, ultimately, 15-year mortgages are better because you're paying a lot less interest and you're amortizing principal faster. So I'm a big fan of 15-year mortgages. I also think that most people should be able to pay off their mortgage in 10 years. That should be the goal, is to pay it off in 10 years. The house I'm currently living in, I took out the mortgage in 2015. I paid it off in 3.5 years. So I'm a big fan of paying down debt because that reduces the dollars you pay in interest.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't they sometimes, with 30-year mortgages, if you do a good job paying it, maybe you pay a little extra on your principal. I mean, I guess that's an option, too, obviously. Offer you some better deals maybe a year later for like a 15-year mortgage or a 10-year mortgage if you've done a good job with that 30-year mortgage. So somebody who maybe can't get the 15-year mortgage for whatever reason, they have to go with the 30-year mortgage. Aren't there some options like that for those individuals?
Yeah, I guess so. The way I look at this, something just occurred to me. I want to talk about this concept first.
Okay.
One thing that people say to me all the time is, look, if I locked in my rate at 3%, why would I pay down my mortgage if I can just take that money and invest it in the stock market and earn 9%, right? Which
mm-hmm.
is a legitimate question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is there is nothing better than a house, nothing better for your psychology than a house that is paid for, that you own free and clear, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever had the experience of living in a house where you paid off the mortgage and you own the house, it's the most powerful thing in the world. Nothing mm-hmm. can take that house away from you. It doesn't matter if you get into a car accident. It doesn't matter if you get sick. It doesn't matter what happens. That house is yours. You have a place to live. You cannot lose the house. It's incredibly powerful.
Yes. I think that, and that power, that sense of being empowered, of knowing that, is really wonderful as far as even contributing to that abundance consciousness, right?
Yep.
Yeah, really, really does put you in a good position. But back, you were talking about the mortgage, and there's a rule of thumb, isn't there, for like if your interest rate is, I don't know, some percentage point, that maybe it's better to keep the mortgage going, I guess, especially if you're self-employed, because there are some tax benefits, right?
Yeah, I mean, generally, if you have a 3% mortgage because you've locked in the rate during the pandemic, you refinanced, that's a much harder decision. But, you know, current mortgages now are about 7%. If you have a choice between paying off the mortgage at 7% or investing and getting 9%, it's really a decision theory problem. It's like you're going to get a certain 7% by paying off the mortgage, or you're going to get an uncertain 9% in the stock market. That's a much easier decision. You want to pay off that mortgage as quickly as possible. If you have a mortgage with a really low rate, like 2.5% or 3%, I definitely understand the motivation for not paying it off.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there are some things to think about, to process. There was certainly some low interest rates during that COVID period for many people, and then, yeah, it went up again. But so let's go back. Is there anything else regarding smart ways to buy big-ticket items we should be aware of?
Well, I mean, buying a car is always an adventure. The thing with buying a car is, you have to do a little bit of research before you go to the dealership. You know, if the car chapter in the book is actually pretty funny because I talk about some of my experiences at car dealerships. But you have to know how much the car that you're buying is worth, and you have to know how much your trade-in is worth. You at least have to know those two things, okay? And then you have to be prepared for you're going to be in a position where you have massive asymmetric information. The salesman has much more information than you on warranties and incentives and stuff like that, and you're completely in the dark, and you never know if you got a good deal. So you have to, you know. And the other thing is, don't go to a car dealership unless you intend to buy a car. Don't go there just to browse and kick tires, because you'll end up buying a car. So
you sound like you've had experience doing that.
I have actually.
That's coming from your heart, Jared.
Yeah.
At least it sounds like it to me. So, good point. These are very, very good points. These are big-ticket items for people. How about the person who's renting and they're debating about taking a risk with a house? Do you have any advice for them?
Um,
guideline, rule of thumb, when are they really financially ready to buy a house versus continuing to rent? You know, that buying that house might create stress, but of course there's lots of tax benefits and other benefits.
Yeah, if you can make it work where housing is no more than 25% of your income, maybe 30%, but you should really keep it to 25%. You know, people get pre-qualified for massive loans where they're going to be spending 45% of their income on mortgage interest and mortgage payments, property taxes, and insurance. And you do not want to be in that situation, because it's going to crowd out your ability and even do anything fun.
That's a point. That's something for everybody to think about, right?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. Gosh, we're on our last segment, aren't we? How did that happen? It happened so quickly, it seems. Jared, I've enjoyed this immensely. You are a wealth of information. Thank you so much for taking the time today to be on my show and for giving us some good points. Let me take our listeners again to your website so that they definitely will learn more and know how to connect with you through your books and through your writing. So go to www.jareddillian, that's spelled D-I-L-L-I-A-N, jareddillianmoney.com. Thank you for your time. Is there one last quick piece of advice for 10 seconds you can give us as we say goodbye?
Debt and risk are the two sources of financial stress. If you minimize debt and you minimize risk, you will live a stress-free financial life.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. I'll be
in
touch. And to my listeners, I'll see you next month. We'll be back on the show with another guest. Bye-bye.